You got the touch. I'm Stan Bush, and I dare you to listen to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike.
Listening to All Things Transformers, Episode 25, recorded Saturday, June 6th, 2009.
So whenever you're ready.
In 19, 18, 17. No, I'm just bullshitting with you.
Yeah, that's a little long.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 25. From our hiatus, and joining me this week is...
Mike, TFG1 from the TFG1 podcast. Hello.
Howdy.
How's it going? You're recently married and honeymoon's done and you're back and no more hiatus and what's going on?
Vacation was great. Not nearly long enough. It was nice to be away from the electronics for a while. but glad to be back in front of them again.
Yes.
Sitting there listening to podcasts on my MP3 player, wishing I could record a new episode and listen to new ones. Because I'd listened to all those already.
Yep.
But, yeah, as of this week, I've released what you pre-recorded of TFG1 Episode 17.
Yep.
Tooncast Episode 0 and 1.
Yep.
And pretty much I think that's it this week that'll be released other than this particular episode, which should be released tonight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, overall, that's pretty much it, and I've been working on the Geekcast site a little bit, just kind of trying to keep the episodes up to date until I can get time to go back through and do them all.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I mean, there's been so much going on. We're a week removed from BotCon, and there's so much going on there. I sent... A friend of mine, she bought my reissued Astro Train off eBay that I was selling just because I needed money at the time to get the actual software, the call recorder software license. And I also, she was going to BotCon, so I sent her my original 1986 soundtrack of TFTM to see if she can get it signed by Stan Bush and Vince DiCola since they were both going to be there. At the time, I didn't realize, or I didn't remember, that Weird Al was going to be there, or I would have asked her for that, too. But when she got back, she told me that Weird Al, it was one autograph per person. But, yeah, Stan and Vince both signed my CD, and actually Stan personalized it. So that was really, really cool. And then later on today, in 25, we have my second interview with Stan and your first. Talking
Which
about
will be epic and awesome.
Oh yes, talking about BotCon and what his experience was like and stuff like that. There's been a lot of stuff going on with BotCon and all kinds of Hasbro announcements and everything else. I think the first and foremost thing, Animated, yes, unfortunately, is canceled. I accept this now, but with all the rumors that kept going on and on, you know, before BotCon, I was like, until I hear an official word, I'm not believing either way. But unfortunately, it is canceled now, so I have nothing, no cartoons to watch on Saturday mornings anymore. I have nothing to get up to or look forward to on Saturdays. So
yeah, I much didn't have squat to get up to on Saturdays for the most part because I don't have any of the actual channels to watch. Because I pay for the cheap channel of cable.
Yes.
So I have to watch my stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, well, there's always the direct downloads at TFW.
Yes, which I have them all, and I actually have them on the site. I just need to actually put the link in the TF Animated area to download them.
Yeah.
Because there's something of a lazy-ass syndrome that's going on right now with the site.
Yes, very much so.
The PriticonEmpire.com, I have been slacking on, but I've been directing all my attention to Geekcast Radio, so that's why certain things are neglected. Although I do want to add some more content to PE. I do have some more toy reviews, which those will be probably slow coming because, again, I'm lazy. And B, I got to link some things that are already uploaded that aren't, you know, aren't just directly linked on the site.
Yeah. Yep. I guess for me, the biggest news out of BotCon was the fact that we are getting more TFA toys. They showed display pictures. People got display pictures in display cases of Transformers Animated I believe they are deluxes. RC, Rodimus, Hydrodive Bumblebee. I think that's Blazing Lugnut. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I'm not a Lugnut fan. Lugnut sucks. It should have been Astro Train. But anyway, Rodimus looks so friggin' cool.
Yeah, I know. I'm very, very, very tempted to go buy that when I find that in the store. Because for once, it actually is a highly detailed Rodimus.
Yes, very much so. I mean, the shattered glass version of Rodimus is really, really cool and very highly detailed as well. But as far as an actual regular Hot Rod / Rodimus, whatever you want to call it, it's very detailed. I mean, I'm looking at the vehicle mode picture I sent you, and you can actually see the key lock and the door handle. I mean, that's how detailed this thing is.
Oh, wow, you can.
Yep.
I just like it because the car mode looks exactly like Hot Rod from the G1, and then the robot mode, for the most part, looks just like him too, other than, you know, slight differences because it's animated instead of the original style. But it does, it looks really awesome. I'm actually, quite honestly, probably going to pick that one up when that comes out.
Oh, I'm definitely picking that one up. And as far as RC, she does look a lot like her her show. It looks like she's show accurate. We never actually saw an alt mode for her on the show. As far as I remember, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch. But
I think they never showed it on the show, but I think they kind of gave her kind of her G1-esque look along with a...
Oh, yeah.
They gave her this, like, her alt mode is also similar to one of the female speedsters from Transformers Cybertron.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. My only thing about these two figures is they look like they're extremely short. Both RC and Rodimus look like they're about the size of Soundwave, and I mentioned this to somebody on Twitter the other day, and they said that Rodimus is actually about an inch and a half taller than Soundwave. But just looking at that big shot that I sent you of him, just looking at the way the figure is made, it looks like he is extremely short. I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm overanalyzing it, I'm not really sure. Actually,
he looks to be like the same height as the Mega or Voyager, whatever the hell they call themselves this week. Looks to be about the same height as the box of that. Transformed.
Yeah, but I think he's a deluxe though. I don't think he's a Voyager.
No, but he does appear to be that tall.
And it should be noted that they are calling this thing Rodimus Minor, which I don't like. I don't like that.
Didn't they call him Rodimus Prime in the show?
Yes, but maybe what they're going to do is, hopefully they will do this. I don't know if they will or not. Maybe they will make a Voyager class of him, like there's a Deluxe Optimus Prime, there's a Deluxe Optimus, there's a Voyager Optimus. There are multiple Optimuses for TFA, so maybe they will do that with him as well. Like they'll release this as a Deluxe, see how obviously it's gonna sell. Everybody wants it. And see what the numbers are, and then maybe they'll go back and make a Voyager class for him, which I hope they do.
You know what would be interesting to have? If they do pick up something from this line, they ought to focus on, like, a like the other Cybertronian, like have Shockwave versus like Rodimus Prime and have their units and just focus on them.
Mm.
Like just have a completely different show centering around them, whereas the other ones like Optimus and Megatron.
Oh, okay. You're saying for an actual show idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think TFA Shattered Glass would have been awesome. Just putting TFA in the Shattered Glass, that would be so cool. But, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of speculation, and probably after the movie's released, Revenge of the Fallen's released, they'll probably, you know, do something. I mean, Hasbro has that deal with Discovery and everything else, so, I don't know. Yeah, there really isn't that much else as far as I know. You know, there's been a whole lot of Revenge of the Fallen figure news. There's been a whole lot of movie news, a whole lot of new TV spots and trailers going up, but, you know, I don't know. At this point, I'm feeling really negative about the movie. I don't know why, I just am.
Well, there's been a lot of people that I've talked to at work because a lot of them are pumped to see the Transformers movie. Because mm-hmm. they love the first one, and so they, of course, come to me being the Transformers expert of the dealership. And so they ask me every question they can, and, like, they tell me, like, some of the commercials, you know, the trailers and stuff that see on TV, they say some of them look kind of, you know, like, hokey-looking, and then other ones look awesome. So, I mean, I kind of have a, like, I'm not going to really hold judgment for the movie until I actually watch it, and then I'll make my review of it afterwards. But I went to Walmart earlier today, and I've seen that the Transformers animated section is drastically cut down.
Yes.
Like, there's barely anything there. And they had, like, the Classics Cheetor Dinobot, and then they had, that was all they had of the Classics line, along with the 25th anniversary Classic 84 Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, they had the huge-ass Bumblebee Camaro toy. They have, like, walkie-talkies, which are retarded. They have those little kid versions of the Transformers up there, of the Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah.
They have the Voyager-class Optimus, Starscream. Like, all of them are starting to show up now in the stores. And the box art form looks freaking awesome compared to the first movies.
Right.
However, some of the figures, like, I don't know. I probably won't pick up anything from the movie line. And if I do, it'll be, like, on discount when they're getting ready to phase them out. Just because. Although the Soundwave toy in robot mode, because that's what he comes in,
mm-hmm.
looks pretty decent from what I've
yeah.
seen.
Box. Yeah.
But they call him a triple changer. Because he turns into satellite and he turns into the flight jet, although it's just two different panels that are different. It just looks like they stand him straight up. And he looks like his jet form, and then they lay him down, and they're like, oh, he's a jet. Oh, we'll stand him up. He's a satellite.
Yeah, they probably really went cheap on that.
They did. All it is one different slight change. Like, they just flip one panel up, and there, he's a satellite.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at this point, the movie is getting so much hype that, yeah, I'm reserving judgment till I go see it, but I'm so sick of hearing about it at this point. And usually when I get that way about movies or TV or whatever, I usually end up waiting 2-3 years to even see the stupid thing. Which I won't, but I'm just saying in general, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it probably opening weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm going to waste my money seeing it in IMAX. Star Trek, on the other hand, that was fucking worth it to see in IMAX.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. That was, like, the most freaking awesome movie to go see in IMAX. But the Transformers movie, I'm sure that'd be freaking awesome in there as well, but I'm probably just going to see it in theater first and then kind of decide whether it's worth seeing twice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't actually know how many characters are going to be in the movie that are currently toys. I mean, I think Skids and Mudflap are in there. But there are so many other toys that are out that seem like they wouldn't be able to fit them all into the movie.
Yeah, there's... I don't think this movie's... I mean, it's going to be more of an action-packed movie, of course, and there's going to be a lot of, like, just death and destruction for the robots themselves because there's so many of them to cover. So yeah. it's going to be kind of hard to focus on individuals in this movie. Obviously, they're going to focus on Prime Bumblebee because Prime's going to get his ass thrashed numerous times in this movie. And Bumblebee himself is, of course, the main bot that everybody kind of looks up to in the whole series.
Yeah.
But it's mostly still going to be a human movie. It's going to be just a bunch of Decepticons, for the most part, thrashing the Autobots.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that, and I'm not quite positive on this, but I could see them ending this on kind of a cliffhanger-ish.
Yeah, probably so. I just want to see somebody new in the chair. I'm tired of seeing Michael Bay. I would actually love to see a director who is a full-on Transformers fan. I would love to see that, because that way... go ahead.
I was going to say me. I'll be the director.
yeah. No, it would end up being a Beast Wars movie, so we couldn't have you. I mean, like, an overall, you know, giant Transformers fanboy minus the Unicron trilogy. You know, just because we would get more homages and stuff like that. I don't know.
Just have Simon Furman write it. You see the Dinobots for sure in the next movie. Grimlock.
Oh, that's
then have
funny.
David K. voice him.
David K. voicing Grimlock? That would
he
be...
He did an animated.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
But they could have the original do it because, you know, he's still around. Might as well give him back his original job. Kind of like Walker's getting Soundwave in this movie. I'm really interested to hear that, more so than I am to see Megatron return.
Yeah.
Because, God, I can't remember that guy's name, but, that did Megatron. But,
oh, Hugo Weaving.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does a good Megatron for that particular body.
But yes.
I still would have loved to have heard Welker's aged version of it.
Yes.
In there. Because, somebody actually linked it up and put Welker's voice doing, you know, some of the same speech lines, and it sounded awesome.
Yeah. As far as, like, going back to BotCon, it's actually funny. I asked my friend who went, I asked her who'd she get for autographs. She got David K., Weird Al, you know, and pretty much a whole bunch of other people. And I asked her, what about Cullen? Because Cullen did show up, and she goes, nope, couldn't. They cut his line to 120 people. I'm like, what?
Holy shit.
What the fuck? Now, I know Cullen has been to plenty of other BotCons. He was at 2004. He was there last year. He was at 2007. I don't know if he was at... I can't remember if he was at 06 or not. And I know he's very, very busy. But, I mean, this is BotCon, for Christ's sake. It happens once a year. Not every year he is there. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. I don't know. I don't know if that was something that he requested or if it was something that they just did.
I think it's just something they just did because they know that there would be a fucking huge line for Peter Cullen. Just like Weird Al, there'd be more people for him, you know, just because he's like a bigger artist, you know, than like Vince DiCola or something. You know, it's just the way it is. It's not really...
Yeah.
I think they just wanted to, you know, make it so that they could... things along, go across their little schedule they have going and, you know, not waste the actor's time or the musicians and...
Yeah, I don't know. The other thing was you couldn't... you could take still shots of everything, but you couldn't tape anything. You couldn't videotape anything. You couldn't videotape the panels. You couldn't videotape any of the displays, but you could take pictures.
See, now this is what irritates me on that. If they're not going to allow you to take video, they should, like we discussed in a previous ATTF, fucking release a video on DVD.
Yep.
Even for $5 on the BotCon site. And sell it to people so they can actually frickin' watch it.
Exactly.
Because I know, I mean, even though I wasn't there, I'd still like to see the, you know, panels from, like, Peter Cullen and David Kaye and Stan Bush and, you know, just everybody.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe they heard us and they decided to do it and just aren't saying so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Like Brian Savage is going to listen to us.
It's like, who are these losers, huh? Make money off the video from PotCon, huh? And then he'll turn around 6 months later and release it.
Yeah, really.
That would be funny. I would laugh, but...
I mean, even if you had... Okay, TFW won several awards.
They always win awards, though.
Well, no, I know, but I'm just saying, supposedly they're the official Transformers website as far as, like, all Hasbro crap and everything else like that. So why not have them have permission to videotape all the stuff and put it on their website so at least people can see it? I can understand about not having, you know, everybody else, you know, every other Joe Schmo being able not to videotape. I understand that. But why not have someone have some sort of crew there to videotape it and then...
And release it to TFW.
Exactly.
See, I mean, I'd even be happy with that, just because, you know, at least someone would have something.
Yes.
That they could share with the fandom.
Exactly.
It's not like we're all going to be like, oh, I hate Hasbro, oh, I hate, you know, the BotCon, and, you know, and just tear it apart, and, you know, everybody's just curious to see it.
Exactly.
Because most of us can't afford to fly across the damn country to go see the show.
Well, not even that. Most of us can't afford to even go to the fucking show, regardless of whether you have to fly across the country or not. I mean, hell, last year it was in Cincinnati. I added all the cost up for two people. It was like $1,200 fucking.
Yeah, that was about how much it was going to cost me to, although it's only like 3 hours for me, but, and I would have had no one to go with. So it would have kind of sucked, but.
I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just so weird that for me, if I was going to go, I actually added it up. I actually added up the, like, say you'd have to fly somewhere other than, say it'd be somewhere that you have to fly to. If you add in plane cost, the hotel cost, the Primus package cost to get everything, all access to the entire convention, plus food and everything else, and obviously going into the dealer room and buying toys, you're going to need close to $6,000 to go to this thing to get the full experience. I know Michael Wilson has told me that, you know, he spent a couple of grand in the dealer room before.
Well, it also helps if you have the couple of grand to spend in the first place.
Well, yeah, no, I know that, but I'm just saying, in addition to $1,200 for the package, for the actual convention package to get all the panels and everything else and have access to the dealer room and all that stuff, you know, in addition to that, you know, you get the hotel cost, you got the plane cost, you got cost of food and stuff like that, plus toys. Yeah, you're looking at close to $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah, I could have drove, like I was in driving distance, but I don't know. I wouldn't have had money for the hotels or, you know, even to pay for the entrance of BotCon.
Yeah. I was listening to TFW's podcast. That general admission line on Sunday was horrible. The line was so long that they were saying, I don't know. But, you know, I'd love to go, but, yeah, unless it's somewhere fairly close that I could drive to or that my mom could drive to, yeah, no.
Maybe they'll get lucky. Maybe the next one will be in Kentucky.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, 2006 was. It was in Lexington.
That would have been close enough for you.
Yeah, I think it was Dawn's of Futures Past. I think it was, yeah, it was
Beast
the...
Beast Wars.
Yeah, it was the Beast Wars one. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I was pissed I couldn't go. I mean, I know there was a Michigan one, like in, I think, 02, but I didn't know about it at the time, and I don't think I was entirely back into Transformers.
Yeah.
Because I kind of fell out of it for a while.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I'd love it for another one to be here. Just because I could go. I could drive. I wouldn't have to stay in a hotel. I could just drive from home.
Exactly.
I would have just slept in my car if I went to the Cincinnati one. Screw that.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been a broke-ass person and just slept in my car.
But, I mean, now, I don't know. I'm not really sure what... Now, I know that they offer package deals for... Like, the hotels offer package deals for people that are attending conventions. What I think BotCon should do is whatever city that it's in, whatever hotel that's going to be, you know, that they're going to want to sponsor or whatever, or the hotel is going to want to sponsor them, I think it should be included in the convention package. You know, what is it, 3 days, 4 nights, or whatever it is, include that cost in the BotCon package. Yeah, it would drive the price up of each package, but at least you're not having to spend extra money on a hotel because you're buying it within the BotCon package. That would be awesome.
And what they should do is also have the hotel ones without the, like, if you don't want, like, every little, you know, the figures that come with the set, and you just want, like, the comic, and you want some of the just little, you know, the pins and shirt or hat or whatever that comes with it, you know, they should be able to give you all that, you know, like a smaller package. I know they do sometimes the smaller packages, but I personally don't really care about the toys. It's just repaints for the most part.
Yeah. This year's set I did not like at all. The only thing that I want, and I still want, out of this year's set is the box, the comic, the pin, and the certificate of authenticity. And I still haven't found it yet. Or I still haven't found somebody to sell it to me or just plain give it to me. But, I mean, for, like, a first-timer, like us, I mean, we've never been, I would want to be able to get everything, regardless of the BotCon set itself, because if it's not something I'm going to like, then I can just put it up on eBay and, you know, whatever.
Well, see, I would fork over the money for it if I got to actually go to one.
Oh, yeah.
But I would only do so on the figures if I actually liked the figures. I would not buy them if I did not like them.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, Michael was telling me when they went, was it last year? No, not last year. The year before, 2007's. He said that, you know, he and his wife, and at the time he just had the one son, they went and they got two packages. They came back and sold the second package on eBay, and it pretty much paid for the trip. As far as selling the second box set, because they sold it on eBay and it pretty much paid for the entire trip for what they got for the price of it. So, I mean, even if, I mean, say you and I both, you know, say it was somewhere fairly close and you and I both went, we could always sell the second package on eBay and split the cost.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. It'd be nice to actually go to one and have like a,
the experience
that and have the Geekcast radio guys have a table sitting there.
Yeah, them booths probably cost a lot, though. I mean, we'd have to fork out some real cash.
That's why we split it with some other small sites.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I was thinking about doing T-shirts for the podcasts and stuff, I was looking on the site that Snowball sent me. I was like, holy crap. It ended up being like, if I was to order them, it ended up being like $500, $600 for like, 10 t-shirts.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's another site, though, that Jesse uses for his TF Wire shirts that's actually really cheap.
Yeah.
And you can buy them for, like, the cost. You could buy them in the store.
Yeah.
I'll probably just print off logos and, you know.
Yeah.
Go take them to my local t-shirt store and say, put them on it.
Yeah, really. Yep. Not
but I
really.
Think other than, you know, the special All Things Transformers / TFG1 interview again later.
Yes.
I think that's it on the BotCon section.
Yeah, BotCon's pretty much done. TFA's done. I mean, I don't really think we have anything else to talk about unless you want to bring up all the pending releases for Geekcast.
We
have a ton of stuff going on.
Oh, as for the movie news, the Chevy Camaro that is Bumblebee,
mm-hmm.
they're selling those at dealerships now. And you can special order them from GM, I believe, right now, even though they're in bankruptcy. yeah. But, no, you can still get those because they're going to be a limited run, and they're supposed to have, like, the Autobot symbol on them, on the outside and on the inside. It's going to have that special spot where they have the fog lamps, because on the normal Camaros, they don't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a special mod to that specific kind. So, I believe you can get those now. I think it's till the end of the month, till the release of the movie.
Well, I just saw the commercial on TFW.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it would be awesome to own one.
Yeah, it would.
I've sat in the Camaro. Fucking nice. I've never driven one. They won't let me yet. I was like, please let me drive it. Take it on the expressway. I want to try it out. Bet you I can get it over like 150 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
I don't know. Shouldn't do that. I don't need a ticket.
No.
I just got all the six that I accumulated from high school off my record, finally.
God.
You know what they're all for?
Speeding?
I had a wreck. That was one. Two, improper turn in a construction zone. And the other four, speeding.
That's funny.
But anyways, back to the Transformers subject.
Yes. What other news do we have?
You can get advance tickets for Revenge of the Fallen, which are on sale now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd just rather just go to the theater the day of the show. Doesn't really matter to me. Advance tickets, whatever.
Yes.
Because knowing me, I end up losing the damn things, and I end up paying like $6-$12 for two or three tickets for, you know, my mom and I and somebody else to go. If I bought them early, I'd end up fucking losing them. So.
Whatever. I'm probably gonna wait anyway. I don't really care to pre-order it. It's gonna be one of those movies that after a week or two, you're gonna be able to get in there real easy anyhow.
Oh yeah.
Of course, that's with any movie, but yeah, and I think that's all the news I've got.
Yeah, there's been more toy news on TFW more recently than anything else. I mean, they did show the three new TV spots. They did have videos for the, like I said, the Camaro commercial, but the rest of it's pretty much toy news and. Who gives a shit about the toys? Because I don't think... Out of all the toy reviews I've seen, I'm glad the people that like the movie line have them. That's great. But for me... First of all, I'm up to my ass in bills right now to the point where I'm pretty much selling almost everything I own. Other than the computer and a couple other things. Because I can't get, you know, the price that I want. But I mean, you know, just... the movie line just doesn't interest me at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in crunch mode on money right now. I don't have any fucking money, and it sucks, because I see shit I want to buy, and I can't afford it.
Wait, you didn't have any money before the wedding. You don't have any money after the wedding either? Jesus Christ.
No, it's called lots and lots of paying off the bills.
Yes.
So, yes, it sucks.
Yes, I'm sure it does.
But, after I finally get them paid off, I will be able to spend money again. But anyways, yeah, I'll probably actually buy some real podcasting equipment.
Yeah, I so need a new headset. I like this one, but, yeah. Maybe we should set up a donation PayPal account. Yeah, we definitely should. That's so funny.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much all the news we got other than GeekCast news.
Yeah, which we will be talking about in episode 2.
Yes, which will be
coming up. Of GeekCast Radio, yes.
Yes, that should be coming up. We're probably going to record that soon. I don't know when.
Probably after this, but we don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Seeing as how we have time between now and the time we're supposed to call Stan, so I figure we can do something. I don't know, whatever.
Yes.
So I think going to close 25 out. Yay on 25 episodes.
Yes.
Who would have thought that this would have gone 25 episodes?
I thought I would have been past that by now, but it's because I skipped weeks and because I do every other week instead of every week. And if I was doing every week, I would so be past TFW right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But
And not that we're trying to start a podcast war either, but yeah, he's right. And I don't know, when we go into a little forum talk.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring, because
in the the multiple title changes for the Kill Springer thread.
Springer out as hello, changed to
the beatdown of Springer.
And then it changed to
the beatdown of Springer part 2, and now
it's the destruction of Springer.
Yes.
Next it'll probably be called The End is Near.
And then the thread will probably end up closing. It's just weird. It is probably the longest thread on the entire forum.
To be honest, that page has more than the actual RPG that used to be on the site. It has 23 pages. And at this current time, it has
like 100 and something posts. I don't.
No, not even close. 221.
Wow, holy crap.
Yes.
And just to think, this all started with my my rage against that little green bastard. Fucking homewrecker.
Anyhow. But Springer is trying to, as he did see, that we used to have a RPG on the site.
Yes.
Similar to TCA's Warzone. Yes. It's called Battle Protocol. It's been inactive since pretty much 6 months into this new site design, which was 07, very beginning.
Yes.
So pretty much all the people that were playing it kind of left since the previous version of the site, and then other ones tried to come back, and then they just kind of it got old. But anybody that's willing to join up for it is willing to do so. Just post in the forum. Springer has a section called In the Members Hangout RPG, which doesn't always involve the destruction of Springer. That's the name of the post. So if you're interested in playing a character for the show, or not for this show, but for that
For RPG, the thread. Yes, for the thread.
Yes, then go ahead and let us know. I would join back up, of course, because I would have to moderate it.
Yes.
And anybody that wants to be a war moderator or come up with a story or whatever is willing to do that as well. So I guess I'll just wait until that hits enough people before I decide to do anything specific with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not... I mean, I left everything intact, but I made it hidden so you can't find any of the stuff. Just because it's so dead.
Yes.
It takes up space on the forum right now.
Yeah. I mean, since you've been on vacation, or since when you were on vacation, the forums have been kind of... They've gone back to their deadened selves a little bit. I mean, there is some posts, but it wasn't like that first couple of weeks... about a month and a half ago, where there was just an explosion of posts. I mean, I go on there all the time, and there's just not... It's gone back to very low activity. I would like to mention, and I will mention this in the GeekCast Radio episode, that Now that I've learned how to take screenshots of stuff with my Power DVD application, I will be taking screenshots of everything that we discuss eventually. There will be a screenshots thread for Tooncast and all the other podcasts. So, yeah, that's pretty much all that's been going on with me as far as doing extra stuff.
And I'm thinking as well that I'm going to link the Predacon Empire forums to Geekcast. And in doing so, I'm going to create a new skin for the forums, specifically for Geekcast.
Cool.
To where, and I'm going to condense and combine areas that are Transformers related because some of it's redundant.
Yes.
And some of it, I mean, we do have the sections for each show. And we have, like, the general discussion and the members hangout and the newbie gathering and all those type areas, which are just generic anyway that are on any forum. But some of the areas will be combined so that it can be more of a broader forum than what it is at this point.
Yeah, very much so. Actually, it's funny that you mentioned that when you were doing, when I asked you to add extra threads or extra areas for the podcasting network, which is what it was called at the time because you hadn't renamed it. I just now noticed last night that you renamed it Geekcast Radio Network. When you
did that a couple weeks ago.
Well, I just now noticed it. So.
Wow, you're slow.
I didn't pay any attention. Shut up. But I was hoping you would just add separate sections for each one, not just Geekcast Radio and then within that MWire and Tooncast, but it's fine the way it is. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Well, the Geekcast one, it's just for Geekcast, and then the other two are in there as well.
Yeah.
And the other three, because they're transfer... not trying to copy the beginning of episode 24, but... The three that are separate from it are still under the category of Geekcast Radio, but they are also along with the Transformers, so that's why they're
separate.
Yeah. And I don't know.
I don't know either.
We have episode zeros up for every show that doesn't have episode one at this point, though, as well, so...
Yes, I am still, if somebody would buy any of my crap on eBay, I could actually go out and get the Beast Wars sets, but nobody's buying it. Damn it, you bastards. But, yeah, at this point, I'm not even sure when we're gonna start Beast Unleashed.
Well, you know what? That's okay, because eventually it will get done.
Oh, yeah, eventually, no, and I'm not saying, you know, my original goal anyway was... The end of the year anyway was December, so I mean, you know, if it doesn't happen till then, that's fine. If it does happen before then, that's fine too. I really, really have to watch my money the next couple months, because it's just outrageous.
Maybe we can get a sponsorship and...
Yes, maybe we could. Maybe we could actually get paying jobs at a certain other geek website, but yeah, we're not going to go into that. I won't hear anything until July, but...
yeah, I probably won't hear squat until then either.
But, you know, hey,
Why don't you tell them about Tooncast real quick?
Okay. Let's see, Tooncast. We have episode zero up where Kevin, Todd, and myself... Actually, episode zero, Todd came in late. he, I guess, had a family emergency or something, and we weren't sure where he was, so Kevin and I just kind of went ahead and discussed what the premise of the show is going to be. And then in episode one, we covered the Nintendo Toons, the Nintendo cartoons that ran on NBC and various other syndicated networks from 1989 to 1995, with Kevin, Todd, myself, and our special guest co-host Dion, my Knight Rider buddy. Coming up next, actually Sunday, tomorrow, we're going to be recording episode two, which is all about Animaniacs. And then sometime next week, we're going to be recording episode 3, which will be the Tiny Toon Adventures. I should have thought about this before I did that, though, because seeing as how Animaniacs and Tiny Toons, it's basically the same people doing those series, and I should have put Tiny Toons first, because Tiny Toons came before Animaniacs, but I didn't think about it at the time. So, yeah, episode 3 will be Tiny Toons. Episode 2 will be Animaniacs. Tooncast will be released every Wednesday.
Yes, and along with it, the TFG one will be released every Friday, as usual. And when the Beast Unleashed comes out, it'll replace the spot that TFG one had.
Yes.
ATTF will be Saturdays, and GCR, I believe, will be coming on either Saturday or Sunday, whichever we get it out.
Yeah. Also, M-Wire, when it eventually starts in July, will be Saturdays. I'm aiming
it'll
for Saturdays. Yeah, it'll be one of them days.
We'll have constant content anyhow.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we've got so much content. We've got, you know, content coming out of the ass over the next few months.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yes. Metaphorically speaking, of course. Yes. So I really don't have anything else.
Well, I guess we'll wrap this up real quick. Yes. And we'll see you in a little bit for the interview of our epic and awesome Stan Bush.
Crunchy!
Nice.
Exactly.
All right, this is Steve/Megatron signing off for part 1 of episode 25.
And this is TFG1 Mike doing it as well. Hello and welcome to the special clip of All Things Transformers, episode 25. Today, Steve and I have an awesome, awesome privilege right now. We are interviewing Stan Bush, the creator behind Dare and the Touch from the Transformers 1986 film. Hello, Stan. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. First of all, I got to get this out of the way. A friend of mine, I had sold her a Transformers toy, and I knew she was going to BotCon, so I sent her my original Transformers 86 CD soundtrack to see if she could get it signed, and I have to thank you so much for signing it.
Oh,
oh my God. She hasn't sent it back to me yet, but she took a picture of it, and you just have no idea how much geeking out I've done over seeing this, and I just want to thank you for signing it so much.
Oh, hey, my pleasure. Yeah, no problem.
That is just so awesome, and as soon as I get it back from her, I'm going out and I'm buying a glass display case, and it will stay in there forever.
Oh.
Basically, the reason for this interview, we wanted to talk to Stan. We are 1 week removed from BotCon, and we wanted to talk to him about his BotCon experience and kind of catching up with him and seeing what's going on with the new version of The Touch and the new album and stuff like that. Stan, the first question I have for you is, how was BotCon?
Oh, it was completely awesome. We had so much fun. There were a bunch of people, some of whom I'd seen before at previous BotCons, but it was just an awesome experience. I met a lot of nice people and, talked to a lot of wonderful people from all over the globe. I mean, there were people from the UK and one or two people from Australia, so it was really cool.
Yeah, BotCon is very internationally known. I mean, the Transformers fandom is all over the world, and it's just ever spreading. So what's your first question for him, Steve?
What was your BotCon experience like, and how much stuff did you see?
How much stuff did I what?
Did you see?
It was great. There were some really cool costumes, you know, some robots walking around. Some of them were homemade, and one of them was Bumblebee, which you may have seen in the news. It was a very elaborate costume that this guy wore. But as far as the convention itself, it was wonderful. I had a table, and a lot of people came by and met me and so forth. Vince DiCola and I, we did a panel together Friday morning at like 10, and then so that was great. It always blows me away how much people say nice things and really are into my music and have heard my album, the new album in this life, particularly that, you know, it just blows me away because they know that that I'm about more than just the Touch and Dare, although they are wonderful songs. But the other cool thing that I did was at the you probably know, and maybe you're planning to bring this up in a few minutes, but the Guitar Hero thing, of course, the launch for Guitar Hero The Touch came out, and that was last week as well with BotCon, and Activision had a booth there, and they had a Guitar Hero World Tour set up, and I was playing The Touch with along with fans. It was really funny. It was very cool.
Now, we do actually have a question about that. A little bit later on down the line here.
Sure, yeah, we can come
which,
back.
Yeah, we'll just come back with that. Were you happy with the fan interaction at BotCon? I mean, was there anything, like, totally off the wall that just made you, like, just kind of, like, shudder, or was it mostly, majority of it, just positive stuff?
It was all extremely positive. I got to admit, I had put a music video up, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it got slammed pretty good by as far as the comments, because it was a totally new version of The Touch, which we did call The Touch Sam's Theme, with a video with clips from the movie. And anyway, it was a totally new version that was sort of modern, and there were comments. I mean, out of 50,000 people, less than 300 comments, and most of those 300 were bad. But, you know, it's one of those things where anytime you try something new, you know, some people are going to, it's going to rub them the wrong way, and you just got to kind of, you know, anyway, I was a little apprehensive about maybe getting comments about that, but I had none. Everybody was extremely positive and supportive. It was great.
That's cool. What's your next question there, Steve?
Did you stop by the dealer room at all to check out any of the toys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I looked at the guy actually at the table next to me. He had a whole table, bunch of Generation 1 stuff. And, yeah, I looked around at the toys. I got to say, I don't know as much about the toys probably as you guys do or as most fans do. But anyway, I saw, you know, there were new things. As you probably know, there are two new toys that contain the Touch that Hasbro just came out with as well.
Oh, what are those? Do you know if
I knew you were going to ask that? I'll tell you what, I can find out right now while we're talking. I'll just we can just keep talking about something else, and I'll tell you in a couple of minutes after I find the email that has the toys.
Oh, that's cool. The next question is: can you give us some more details on the new album, like maybe a title, how many songs will be on it, when an eventual release date may be?
Yeah, let's see. We're probably two-thirds of the way finished with the album. So far, what seems like the best title song is a song called Dream the Dream. It's a wonderful song, very uplifting and positive. It's so funny how The Touch and Dare have kind of helped get me into this niche of writing these, you know, go for it, believe in yourself kind of songs. I just love that stuff. It's like inspirational kind of. Anyway, so we're looking at probably end of summer on the release, I expect. We should be done recording by middle of summer, and then, you know, it'll take a month or two to get it out. So, yeah.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah. But it's the new album's coming out great. It's going to be – it's so funny because In This Life was such a great album. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, toot my horn, but, it, you know, it got – Album of the Year and all these wonderful, critics loving it and all the stuff are all around the world. And I was worried about following it, you know, because it's you always think, oh man, I can never get that anything that good again. But
exactly, yeah.
But so far, it's coming out great.
Now, has there been a set track number? Has it? Do you have like? Is it going to be 10 songs, 12 songs? I mean, do you already have
11
that?
Or 12? Yeah, I imagine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear it either.
Oh,
I mean,
thank you. I wish I could give you guys some kind of preview, but I don't have anything mixed yet, except that one new version of the Touch Sam's Theme.
Yeah.
That's the only so far. You know, that I have that that I could send you or play you, but I did send you an edited version of it.
Yes,
it's
yes,
be
you
coming
did.
Out. I decided to go ahead and release it as a single mm-hmm. on iTunes, so it'll be up on iTunes in a few weeks, like
That's
maybe
cool.
3 weeks or so.
Now, is this going to be the edited version, or is this going to be the full version that was
full,
in the video?
The full version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
And it'll probably be a bonus track on the new album as well.
Oh, that's really cool. All right, next question, Steve.
Were you shocked at all by the fan reaction to the new touch?
Let's see. I had a rough couple of days, honestly. so did my video director guy, my friend Art. He and I were, you know, talking on the phone quite a bit over 2 or 3 days there when the, you know, a lot of the comments were coming in because we were both a little bit you know surprised by the reaction, you know.
Yeah.
But like I say, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to look at the numbers and I think. Out of 50,000 people, you know, less than 300 comments, you know, okay, most of those bad, but or negative, you know.
Yeah, the rest of them are all positive.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers and realize that most of the people, you know, who write in are people that are going to have some problem with it, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I see what you're going for. And I love the way, and I don't know, maybe you can kind of clarify this, the way I've been describing the way you did your own sound, the way you did your voice, it's more of a slow southern style rock. I don't know if that's accurate or not to be saying, but, the only thing that I really wasn't keen on was the rap chorus.
Honestly, that's the thing that got slammed the most was the rap. And that was totally new for me. I'd never done anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, you know. That's something that plays to the younger kids anyway. So
yeah.
You know.
What were the do you know what the circumstances for the touch not being in the Revenge of the Fallen soundtrack?
I really don't know. Honestly, I have not heard a thing. It was submitted both the original touch and the new one version two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to Paramount and to Michael Bay. So it's one of those things. It's very political. You know, Warner Brothers pays millions for the soundtrack rights, and so, you know, it's kind of a foregone conclusion almost that they're going to use Linkin Park and these other Warner Brothers bands. Like I say, I have nothing against Linkin Park. I think they're a very good band, and I love their first single, you know, years ago, the one that the big breakout song. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you just do what you do and be grateful for what is happening. And just being on the periphery of all of this, you know, has really helped my career because, honestly, most people, most fans, most real Transformers fans, the Touch is and Dare are the real anthems anyway. They're the real,
yeah,
considered the anthem of all, you know, the
yeah.
Transformers whole thing. And even if it isn't in the film, it's still a great song, and people identify that with the Transformers. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, that's cool. In fact, it was going to be in the movie 2 years ago, and it was all set. I had all the paperwork and everything, and then like 2 weeks before it came out, Michael Bay, I guess, decided all of a sudden that he wasn't going to put it in there. He cut that scene or whatever.
Yeah, the next question actually kind of goes into that. What was your reaction to it not getting on the soundtrack for a second time, and were you given a reason why not? And I know you just already answered that you weren't told why not, but, I mean, what was your reaction from
well, like
them?
I have not heard anything definitive one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
but like I say, if they had filled out the paperwork, so I guess there's a slight possibility they could sneak it in, but... in fact, the music supervisor for the last film, they were going to put it in as an Easter egg in the DVD release. So
uh-huh.
There's always that possibility, and also the soundtrack for the third film, you know, later on. So it's one of those things where you just, you know, do your best and whatever happens happens. You know, it's like I've got a great career and a lot of wonderful fans that you know really get into my music, so I
yeah.
can't complain. You know, it's one of those things. You just do what you do, and where the chips fall, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. And the next question, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
What are some upcoming things for you in the near future besides the newest album?
Well, let's see. I'm going to be at Comic-Con. Let's see, that'll be in San Diego, of course, end of July.
Yeah, it's there.
I'll probably do another promotion for Guitar Hero with Activision. I'm also discussing the possibility of doing a concert. As you know, my band played at BotCon for the Paramount party.
Right.
At Saturday night at BotCon, and that was on the Paramount New York set, and it was great. The band was just smoking, and Vince and I both played. Anyway, I talked to Activision about having another show, another concert at Comic-Con. So we'll see, you know, if that materializes. But at any rate, I will be at Comic-Con, and I'll probably be doing some stuff with Activision as well as some other booths, you know, with my CDs and autographs and that kind of thing, you know, just making appearances and so forth.
Very cool. Actually, I believe it's been announced that I remember last time I talked to you, I had mentioned the Transformers Matrix of Leadership Complete Series Collector's Edition DVD set. It's been announced that it will go on sale at Comic-Con. So if you wanted to, I believe it's $140 for the whole thing. If you wanted to, you could go to Comic-Con and pick that up, and you could actually watch the old cartoons. I don't know if that's something you'd want to spend $140 on, but the set just looks amazing.
Wow.
They've remastered all the cartoons. They've added a whole bunch of bonus features in there from the original voice cast and stuff like that. So that may be something you might want to look into when you're at Comic-Con.
Oh, that sounds cool, yeah.
Yeah.
You know who's putting that out?
Shout Factory.
Sorry?
Shout Factory.
Oh, okay.
You can go to, I don't know if you have a pen and paper, write this down. You can go to TransformersCollectorsSet.com to look at the information.
All right, I'll check it out.
Are you working on anything else with Activision for Guitar Hero? Guitar Hero, kind of like it. Could we see Dare in Guitar Hero or Till All Are One or something like that?
Well, that would be awesome. As far as I know, I haven't been approached about any other track at the moment. So it's really cool how that whole thing came about, though. I guess you may have heard several months ago. I guess it was in the fall. Kotaku started a petition drive and. To get the touch on Guitar Hero. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we actually, or Steve actually, through Mike and This Week in Geek, Steve actually put the link on PredaconEmpire.com's homepage. That's Steve's website,
his
Transformers website, and we had it on there for a while until we got the news that it actually got in. So that's just
awesome.
That was awesome that happened. It was a very cool thing. And because, you know, it's one of those things where When enough fans get behind something, you know, just like getting Peter Cullen to be the voice of Optimus Prime, you know, that they can bring about things that if they want it, you know, to happen.
That's something else I just thought of just now. While you were at BotCon, did you get to mingle with any of the other stars like Peter Cullen or any of the other Transformers voice actors or anything like that? Did you get to hang out with any of them?
Yeah, well, Weird Al was there, and I had known him from before because we were both on the same record label way back, Scotty Brothers. And Weird Al was there, and Peter Cullen, and also Tyrese, and Weird Al, they all had very positive things to say about me and my show at BotCon and about the new version of The Touch as well. In fact, I've got YouTube links that I can send you. I'll email those to you if you want to post them on your website or whatever for people to see.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll go ahead and send that out right away.
That's cool. This is funny. This is another thing that just popped into my head. When the 20th anniversary DVD release of Transformers the Movie came out, there is original theatrical trailer on there. And a couple of TV spots, and it's funny, the only two people that they advertise in the movie as far as music is you and Weird Al. They advertise The Touch, Dare, and Dare to be Stupid by Weird Al. They don't mention Vince DiCola at all. I don't know why. Yeah,
no.
I'm not really sure why they didn't.
That's strange. Yeah.
But it's like the original 1986 trailers where it's like, the Transformers movie featuring new music from Stan Bush and Weird Al Yankovic. It's like wow, what, they completely glossed over the composer. What the heck?
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Vince did, you know, he did 3/4 of the music on there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did about, I think, 6 out of the 10 tracks. Plus, he had the additional bonus tracks on the new version. The additional.
Plus, Vince co-wrote Dare. So.
Yeah. Vince is awesome. I'd love to get an interview with him.
Oh, he's a buddy of mine. I'll send him his email. Okay.
Cool.
I'll send that. I'm sure he won't mind. Cool. Yeah, he's a good friend. I was the one who contacted him about performing at BotCon and everything.
Yeah, when you and I did our first interview and you mentioned, because I didn't know that, I just knew that you were going to be there, and you mentioned, and he said, oh yeah, Vince is going to be performing with me. My jaw just dropped to the floor. I was like, oh, I so want to go.
He's so good. He's like, he's one of those guys, you know, like you picture the pianist who's been playing since he was 4, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like virtuoso is what it is, you know. He's like, he's that good, you know. Anyway, it was an honor to share the stage with him. He's a friend too, you know, good guy.
Yeah. The last question that we have is, will you be touring the U.S. or around the world at all for the new album when it eventually releases?
Yeah, I'm sure I will. Probably will go over to Europe and do some shows. Last album I did shows in Germany, and I was supposed to do some stuff in the U.K., but there was a problem with my not having a work permit, which was not really my fault, but it happened. And anyway, I'm going to make sure that stuff's all straight before I go back over there. But yeah, I'll be doing that, and I'm going to be doing shows around LA too. And we, like I say, the band, my band performed at BotCon at Paramount, and like the band is just slamming. It's really, really great band. So the guitar player that produced the album, Holger Fath, he's amazing. So anyway, yeah, we will be performing, and so I'll have to just, if people want to check my website, you know, stanbush.com, they can find out, you know, what's happening.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's just totally awesome.
Yeah, because I'd love to actually go see you in concert.
Oh, well, thank you. I would too. I mean, I'm hoping, I've got a friend that I worked with years ago who's, turns out he's one of the biggest concert agents in L.A., and I hadn't thought about the guy in years, but he's like best friends with the guy that used to manage me. And so anyway, I talked to him already, and I picked up a guitar endorsement last week with Greg Bennett Guitars. I should mention that because they're great guitars. When I was in Florida 2 weeks ago, I played at J-Con, performed down there in Orlando, and for the Japanese anime convention, and so there was a local band that played with me there, and that was a really good show. So it's cool to be, you know, performing all over, starting to perform in different areas of the country. And it's funny because I realized that a lot of people that grew up, you know, listening to or watching the Transformers movie know who I am. They remember that song or the Touch and Dare, those songs. So it's very cool to know that I have fans, you know, in this country. It used to be it was more just kind of Europe and Japan, and so it's just starting to spread. You know, the internet helps too, you know.
Yeah, the internet's a very big tool.
Absolutely.
And I know I mentioned this to you in the last interview about like social media and stuff like that, and I know you don't have a whole lot of time. I'm not really trying to coax you into doing this, but Twitter.com, it's, you can use it from your cell phone. I mean, I know you have iPhone. There are, applications for iPhone that you can use, and it's kind of like it's a social media thing, kind of like MySpace, but it's instantaneous, and you can make all kinds of friends on there, and it's not something you actually have to keep up with, but if you wanted to like update, you know, Transformers fans or whatever on new stuff, or if you, you know, you just want to rant and rave, a lot of us on Twitter do that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's one of those things where I have of course my MySpace page, and that has some of my music on there, and information about me. But all these new things have come along, like Twitter and Facebook and all these, and I just I really just don't have time to even, you know, do what I do already.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, here's another new thing. That,
yeah.
So after a while, you just think, oh, no more.
Yeah. I miss the Stone Age.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, no computers, no internet. It'd be
I
better.
Remember the days when we'd talk on the phone, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, if there wasn't the modern technology that we have, we wouldn't be able to record what we're recording right now, because Steve and I are on a application called Skype. It's kind of like a messenger / chat, voice chat thing, and it allows you to call regular landline and cell phones. So if that we didn't have that, we wouldn't get this interview from you.
Oh, that's great. That's
yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, some of the new songs anyway are just for the new album are just going to be like amazing. It's funny because I'm reaching for like a more, I'm trying to get more like lyrics that are very meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
like this one really uplifting, This Will Be Your Time, and it's called Your Time, and another one that is brand new that I haven't even done the vocal yet. It's If This Is All There Is. It's about, you know, somebody questioning his like beliefs and all that stuff, and it's I don't know, with that last, the title song from the last album, In This Life,
mm-hmm.
kind of has a thing like that where, you know, I need something to believe in, and, you know, it's not corny at all. It's very cool way to look at it, and it's just about believing in yourself and keeping it real and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean,
I don't know, I'm just trying to get away from just writing simple, dumb love songs.
But sometimes those... I was going to say, yeah, sometimes those end up being number one hits. I mean,
yeah.
It's usually when I listen to an album, like whoever it may be, you know, I will, like, I mean, perfect example for me is Nickelback. I'm a huge fan of theirs.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
And they will, they'll release a single, and then radio will play it so much that people get burnt out on it. I will listen to the whole album first. Mm-hmm. And I will pick out myself what I think the singles should be, and, you know, I don't know, it's just something weird that I do, because I tend to not listen to, I listen to the rare tracks for the most part on most of the artists that I listen to, because it's, some of them are so much better than the singles sometimes too.
That's really true, you know. do you have the In This Life album?
Yep.
You do?
Yep.
Oh, cool. There's a song on there called Southern Rain, which is my favorite song.
Oh, really?
It's a kind of an unplugged track, and it's about, you know, growing up in the South and how great it is when, you know, it rains down there. And also it's about going back to your childhood and all that kind of stuff. It's a wonderful song. I was just wondering if you remember that one.
It's been a while since I've listened to the whole album, but I will go back to it, and I'll...
Yeah, check out Southern Rain. We may even do a video of that one because it's just so cool.
Very cool. If you had a chance, and like I said, these aren't even written down questions. It's just stuff that's popping into my head. What would the 1986 version of The Touch, if you did it acoustically, what would that sound like? I mean, do you have any idea, or do you think maybe that could happen as maybe an Easter egg on the new album?
That's an idea.
Huh. Yeah.
I never thought about doing an unplugged. That would be really cool.
Yeah, that would sound really, really awesome. Just kind of like have the background of the music, mm-hmm. Just on an acoustic guitar, but more of a slowed down, not
yeah,
so
it wouldn't
up.
Have to be as high either, you know. Cause
yeah,
sing down a little lower.
Yeah.
What a
yeah, what a concept! Exactly.
Yeah, people tell me, oh, you always sing so high. You know? It's kind of an '80s thing, I guess. You know,
yeah.
A lot of guys nowadays don't sing up there. You know, it's
yeah.
Although it's coming back, I think.
Yeah.
Starting to be more rock stuff. You know.
Do you have any other questions that you've thought of, Steve?
No. I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It's really great talking to you guys. Like I say, people can find out what, you know, by checking in the stanbush.com and also the MySpace. You can just click on that link, and
there'll
be announcements about things coming up, and you know, it's all good.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, we would like. Oh, we also have to thank you for the wonderful promos you did.
Yes.
Those are just awesome.
thanks.
We will be using those general promos for almost every show.
Oh, that's great. I mean,
we're going to use the heck out of those things.
Yeah, that's one of the things I learned how to do sound editing, you know, and so it's kind of fun to put those things together.
Yeah,
I wish I had more time to do that kind of stuff because it is nice to have, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
All right. Well, appreciate the support, guys. And, you know, if I can do anything for you. And again, I will send you those links.
Okay.
So you can post those or whatever.
Yeah, I also have to tell you, I don't know if you ever listened to that link I sent you for episode 16 of the TFG1 podcast, but the reception from listening to that, even though people complained that it was a four-hour episode of the podcast, the reception as far as me interviewing you for the first time was like, oh my, like, I got like so many emails from people saying, oh my god, I had a fangasm when you interviewed Stan Bush. I can't believe you got to do that and everything else. And I'm like, you had a fangasm. What, how do you think I felt?
Oh, that's awesome. I really appreciate stuff like that, you guys. It just, it means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to speak to you, man. I mean, your music's awesome and yeah, it's just good talking to you.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate it. It's my pleasure. And I'll be talking to you soon. Just give me a call if you need anything.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stan.
Take care now.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome back to All Things Transformers. I am your main host, Steve/Megatron, and...
I am... Again. Yes, TFG1 Mike, and we just finished, and you just heard, a interview with us and Stan Bush. The master behind the touch and dare on the TFTM 86 soundtrack. That was just so awesome.
Yes.
And Stan did give us permission to use a edited version of the Touch Sam's theme, which you will hear as the closing of this 25th episode of All Things Transformers. He also sent us promos, which is super, super cool, which we'll be using along in this episode as well as more episodes of ATTF and TFG1. Wow. I'm just like still in shock, like starstruck over here.
Yeah, that was definitely awesome what he did.
Yeah, that was just super awesome. And we must... we must give Stan we got to give Stan a huge round of applause. Because, wow, I mean, he has got to be the most accessible person as far as celebrity. That, I mean, granted, he's my first interview and my second interview, but, I mean, you know, me emailing him back and forth, he's very cool. He's very, you know, easy to talk to. It's just super, super awesome.
Yes.
And I don't think I can say, you know, enough good things about the man. And, you know, I've heard other Transformers fans on Twitter and places like that say, oh, Stan Bush, and who really cares? He's only got two songs. No, if you would actually go and look at and do research on the guy, he's got more than just the Touch and Dare. Even though,
well, yeah, he's got well over... you know, 25 years of...
of music, you know, yeah.
Of awesome music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the interview, he asked me if I had heard, was it Southern Rain? And I honestly, I haven't listened to his whole album in a while, and I told him that, but I am going to go back after we finish this and listen to it again. It's just so awesome. We do not have a title for his new album yet, but he told us that there will be about 13 tracks, 12 or 13 tracks, maybe 11. He's not sure yet. He's still mixing it. The Touch, Sam's theme, he's going to release as a single in iTunes, eventually next, maybe down the line, maybe late July. As you heard in the interview, he will be attending Comic-Con, which is awesome in itself. I think it's really cool that he's doing that. Not a lot of people that you would think would go to Comic-Con that actually go to it. But they do sometimes. But yeah, that was just super, super awesome. So I think I am going to stop talking on ATTF 25 because if I talk anymore, it's going to make me sound like I'm kissing the guy's ass, because, wow, it's just super awesome. That's all I can say.
Yes, it was great, considering I've never had the pleasure of interviewing anyone before, so...
Yes, this was Steve's... we popped Steve's interviewing cherry on this call. So that was just... I can't say it enough. Super, super awesome. I don't know what else to use. I think that's the only word I can use at this point. And I did thank him, even though I have not gotten it back from my friend yet. I did thank him so much for autographing my CD. That was so awesome of him.
Yes.
Yes.
Now I need to get something or something.
Autographed. Sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, so this has been ATTF 25. I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve / Megatron.
And we will see you in, I don't know when, whenever the next release we do is.
Yes.
Yes. See you, folks.
Bye.
I'll be listening to All Things Transformers till all are one. This is Stan Bush signing off.
There's still time to save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Create stunning patios and strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design and buy program in-store or on Menards.com. Don't miss out. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big.